ॐ गिरिजमिनन्दस्य जनजनशलकया चक्षुस्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्तुपितां येन भूतले स्वयमुपकदा मायां ददति सापदन्तिकम्
Buried on the terror of the nursery school.
Vanshakopachubhyascha kibhasindhu bhai vishya Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to his schoolmates and told them that their youth, when they were young, or every time actually, but the younger the better, was the time to take the spiritual life. Not to get entangled and make one's shelter of life, household of life, and become enamored and use one's life the first 10 years playing, then in youth, and then old age at the end of one's life, and then entangled in marriage and paraphernalia and collecting so much money. No, in this way one's human life can be completely wasted. The opportunity that human life affords can be completely wasted in illusion. What should one do? What should one take shelter of? Prahlad Maharaj explained that one should take shelter of Lord Narayan, God. And in this way, not try to enjoy the prison of material life, but become liberated from the prison. And is it so difficult? Prahlad asks, to please the Lord? No, he says. It is very, very simple because of the naturalness of the relationship between us and Krishna. Where is that Lord? He is everywhere, actually. He is all-pervading. He is the super-soul in every living entity's heart. But because of Maya, the curtain of Maya, we cannot see him. So therefore, we should give up the Maya. We should not see in terms of material friends and enemies. Rather, we should be merciful to everyone and give everyone devotional service. Try to enlighten everyone, he says, in devotional service. Be the well-wisher of everyone. And then, if one actually does that, gives himself to Krishna and serves Krishna in devotional service, one will get everything. The goals of the Vedas, kama, artha, dharma, moksha, religiosity, wealth, material desires, and ultimately liberation, these aren't even desirable for devotees. What devotees desire is to glorify the Lord's lotus feet. These things, which are in the Vedas, they are material, even though they're in the Vedas. But rather, what is transcendental, that is surrendered to the Lord's lotus feet. So how can one understand this knowledge? One can understand this knowledge probably, Prahlad explains, by hearing from a great devotee such as Narada Muni. Otherwise, it's not possible actually to understand this. To us at this point even, it seems in some senses obvious, but very, very, very difficult to understand unless one hears from a great soul. So Prahlad explained that he heard this about this Bhagavad Dharma, giving up everything for the pleasure of the Lord, fully surrendering to the Lord. I'm from Narada Muni. So his school friends then asked him, how did you hear this from Narada Muni? We are with you all day long. How is it possible that you have the opportunity to hear from a great sage? You don't venture outside of the Gurukula. How did you hear from him? So now in the seventh chapter of the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is first going to explain how he had the opportunity to hear from Narada Muni, and then he's going to go into more detail about the knowledge that he heard from Narada Muni. So text 1 to 16 actually explains how Prahlad learned this, because this was so much of the questions that Prahlad was asked by his teachers and even by his father, Hiranyakashipu, was directed towards, how did you learn this? Who has taught this to you? Because they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop the pollutant from bringing other of the boys to the affectionate, to an affectionate relationship with Lord Vishnu, who Hiranyakashipu considered as enemies. And this is so much of Prahlad's preaching. Don't see friends and enemies. Be the well-wisher of all. Don't get involved in duality in the material world. Te dvandva moha vaniya muktam. Icha dvesha. Te na dvandva moha. This duality is that which binds one in the material world. Issues being on this side of an issue and then that side of an issue. On and on and on and on and on. I want this, I don't want that. Rather, devotion must be developed. So Prahlad begins to describe how he has learned this from Narada Muni. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, Narada Muni was actually describing this to Yudhisthira Maharaj, so he says, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, he remembered the words spoken to him by me, by Narada, and replied to his friends as follows. Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarachal Mountain to execute severe austerities, in his absence, the demigods, headed by King Indra, made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. Alas, the demigods began to say, alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicts misery upon all kinds of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons. Because if we remember, Hiranyakashipu sent all his friends, the demonic friends, to the earth and all over to cause so much trouble to disrupt the entire Vedic culture, with the purpose of giving trouble to Vishnu. And he himself began to perform austerities, and he was away. And during that time, his body had been eaten as he performed austerities. But yet, he was alive, his life circulating within the bones of his body. So they thought that he has been defeated, so they attacked. The demigods thought that Hiranyakashipu has been defeated, so they attacked the demons. When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. They were terrified. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen, Kayadu. As she was being led away, crying in fear like a korari, korari is a bird, captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Narada Muni said, "O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her." King Indra said, "In the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until the child is delivered, and then we shall release her." Because they were fearing that the father was such a great demon, and he was causing the world so much trouble, so the child of the father must also be a great demon. And he was in the womb right now of the mother, but he was going to come out. So they planned to keep the mother, Kayadu, the queen, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, in custody. And then, when the child was born, they wanted to kill him, thinking he was a serpent, the child of a serpent. But Narada Muni replied, "The child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him." They were going to try, according to their plans, but Narada Muni said, "He can't be killed. Even the demigods can't kill a great devotee. What to speak of others?" So when the great saint Narada Muni had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, immediately released my mother. "Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, all the demigods circumambulated her. Then they returned to the celestial kingdom." So the demigods accepted Narada's authority, and they spared the mother and the child, the unborn child within the womb. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "The great saint Narada Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her of all protection, saying, 'My dear child, please remain at my ashram until the arrival of your husband.' After accepting the instructions of Devarshi Narada, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction, as long as my father, the king of the Daityas, had not become free from his severe austerities. My mother, being pregnant, desired the safety of her embryo and desired to give birth after her husband's arrival. Thus she stayed at Narada Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narada Muni with great devotion." So we're going to read Prabhupada's purport, and in that purport he describes that we should not imitate Narada Muni. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 19th chapter, 17th verse, "Matra svasra duritava naiva viktasano bhavet balavan indriyo gramo vidvam samapikarchati." One should not remain in a secluded place with a woman, even one's mother, sister, or daughter. Nonetheless, although one is strictly prohibited staying with a woman in a secluded place, Narada Muni gave shelter to Prahlad Maharaj's young mother, who rendered service to him with great devotion and faith. Does this mean that Narada Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? Certainly, he did not. Such injunctions are intended for mundane creatures, but Narada Muni is transcendental to mundane categories. Narada Muni is a great saint and is transcendentally situated. Therefore, although he was a young man, he could give shelter to a young woman and accept her service. Haridas Thakur also spoke with a young woman, a prostitute, in the dead of night, but the woman could not deviate his mind. Instead, she became a Vaishnavi, a pure devotee by the benediction of Haridas Thakur. Ordinary persons, however, should not imitate such highly elevated devotees. Ordinary persons must strictly observe the rules and regulations by staying aloof from the association of women. No one should imitate Narada Muni or Thakur Haridas. Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnaveda Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujaya. Even if a man is very advanced in learning, he cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnava. Anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnava without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse, it has been distinctly said, Deva Shir Antike Sakuto Bhaya. Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narada Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narada Muni, in his transcendental position, stayed with the young woman without fear of deviation. Because where does deviation come from? It comes from the enjoying spirit. And where does the enjoying spirit come from? It comes from false ego. So anyone in the material world who possesses a false ego, who is not fully awake in his relationship with Krishna, has to be so careful of these things. Man for woman, woman for man, these are the objects of enjoyment. More than anything else in the material world, members of the opposite sex are the object of enjoyment that causes the false ego to spring into its enjoying mood. So therefore, always one should be very careful and not imitate great souls, rather follow their instructions. Continuing in the purport. Narada Muni, Haridas Thakur and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform because they have no false ego. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think that the acharya is an ordinary human being. Gurusu Naramati. Continuing, explaining the story. Pastor. Narada Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. Because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. So they were in Bhagavad Dharma, because the verse says, Dharmasya Tattvam Gyanam Cha. So what was the Dharma that he instructed them? It was Bhagavat Dharma. That's what Prahlad, again, is now going to speak to his school friends. And he's actually mentioned Bhagavat Dharma at the end of the last chapter. And the yoga is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga and Bhagavat Dharma are the same. So he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. And indeed, this is exactly the first thing that Prahlad said to his school friends. Dharman bhagavataniha dulava manusha janma tarapadruvam artadam. That you, my school friends, you practice Bhagavad Dharma. So Narada instructed Prahlad on Bhagavad Dharma. Because of the long duration of time, Prahlad is continuing here as well. Because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman, and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions, but the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Second half of Prabhupada's purport. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment. And because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. So what does that tell us? That what causes us to forget devotional instructions, or what causes devotional instructions to be covered within our consciousness? It's the attachment to material enjoyment that causes one to forget devotional instructions. Because false ego and ego have a difficult time existing side by side like water and fire. So when there is devotion, then false ego can't exist, because devotion means considering oneself Krishna's servant. So, because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But even if a woman practices devotional service strictly according to the rules and regulations, the statement of the Lord Himself, that she can return to Godhead, tepiyanti paramgatim, is not at all astonishing. So, regardless of the body that one is within, one is a soul. And if the point is that if one performs devotional service, then one is a devotee. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. So, what did he learn and how to learn it? What are the principles of learning and what will be learned? Text 17. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words," so he's saying that he heard from Narada Muni, so what did he hear? Now he's going to repeat this. "If you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith, you can also understand transcendental knowledge, just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter." Because this knowledge talks to the soul, not to the body. Therefore, this Bhagavad Dharma is kaitavatra paramo namatsaranam satam. All lesser religious principles are kicked out, and the religion of the soul is being established in the Bhagavatam, regardless of the body. And what again is that the religion of the soul, the Dharma of the soul? It is Bhagavad Dharma, it is Sanatan Dharma, it is the natural, constitutional, the life of the soul. The soul in its natural constitutional position. And that is alive, awake in his loving relationship with Krishna. So you can understand this, he says, even though you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. So Prahlad is going to start explaining in the subsequent verses soul, super soul concepts, and then move on from that. Purport. These words of Prahlad Maharaj are very important in regard to knowledge descending by the disciplic succession. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was a baby within the womb of his mother, he became fully convinced of the existence of the supreme power because of hearing the powerful instructions of Narada, and understood how to attain perfection in life by bhakti yoga. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tetagarao tasyaite katita yata prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Ataksi Krishna namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhi hi jivado Swayam eva spuratyada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. So these two verses and the next one describe some very essential principles of attaining spiritual realization. The next one is Bhakti Mam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvata Tatomam Tatvato Gyatva Vishite Tairanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is. One can actually understand Him as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. These are the Vedic instructions, three verses. One must have full faith in the words of the spiritual master. Yasya deve parabhaktir, yata deve tathaguru, and the words and similar faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma and the distinction between matter and spirit will be automatically revealed. This Atma Tattva, or spiritual knowledge, will be revealed within the core of the devotee's heart because of his having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mahajan, such as Prahlad Maharaj. So the second verse, first verse, explains that one must take shelter of the Lord, with the devotee, with full faith in Him and the Lord, and render devotional service, because the Lord cannot be understood in any other way by devotional service. Why? Nagrayam bhavam indriyai. Nabhaved grayam indriyai. That by one senses He cannot be understood because He is beyond the senses. He is beyond our ability to understand. Just like if we look at this paper that this book is made out of. What can we say about the paper? We can say that it is made out of what? Excuse me? The paper is made out of stuff. It's a very interesting comment. One might even say that the stuff could even be wood. Yes, made out of wood. But exactly how the paper made, who cut it, was made, who cut it down, the particular tree, how long the tree was sitting and growing, when it was planted, who the tree's parents were, parent trees, exactly what kind of tree, which forest, how many years it grew before it was cut. Who can say those things? We can say it came from a tree. Similarly, we can understand that everything comes from God, but to understand about God, it is impossible through empiric knowledge. Through our senses, we have to get some revealed knowledge, descending knowledge. It has to be told to us. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas tasmitattva. And by performing devotional service, then Krishna reveals this knowledge about who He is, His nature, His personality to us. By His divine grace. In this verse, the word bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessing to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me, become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness, because Prahlad is preaching to his class friends. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by the disciplic succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master must be in the line of authorized disciplic succession, like Prahlad Maharaj, who received the knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of demons, were to accept the truth from Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. Now, what does one learn if one takes to this process as described by Prahlad Maharaj with full faith, hearing from someone who has heard from someone in the disciplic succession? So in text 18 through 22, we're going to hear not to be illusioned. We're going to get the first knowledges that we are not the body, that we are souls, and that Krishna and the living soul, the living entity, are side by side. They are both within the temporary material body. The body changes, but the soul and the super soul remain the same. Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death, the material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. Purport by Prabhupada. This is a very important verse in understanding the difference between the spirit soul and the material body. The soul is eternal, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Na jayate mrite va kadachin layam bhutva bhavita vanabhuya hajo nitya shashvato yam parano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Hanyate hanyamane sharire. The spirit soul is eternal, being freed from waste and change, which take place because of the material body. The example of a tree and its fruits and flowers is very simple and clear. A tree stands for many, many years. But with the seasonal changes, its fruits and flowers undergo six transformations. They come, they grow, they stay, they dwindle, they die, they give byproducts. But the tree remains throughout all these productions and death of the fruits and the leaves. The tree remains. Like the soul, as the soul remains the same. And everyone actually has this experience. We think of it as esoteric knowledge, and we think, do I experience myself as a soul? And then when I think, no, I don't feel very much like a soul today. I feel like a body or a mind. But actually, we all have so much experience that we're souls, that we're not the body. Because we remember. We might not remember when we were that age, Prita age, but we remember when we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and has our body changed? Or 20 years ago, has our body changed? And in 20 years from now, will our body have changed? And will we be the same people? Or will our identity change with the body? Will we become someone else? Because the body will be, in 50 years, if we live that long, our body won't even be recognizable. But will we be the same person? Yes. We'll have the same feeling that, yes, I have the same name, I'm the same person. But if we had a picture then and now, we wouldn't be able to tell it's the same person. Maybe there'll be some characteristic, slight characteristic, but we'll all be wrinkled and shriveled and translucent skin, if we're still even in the body. But we'll still feel the same. I'm the same person. But the vehicle will be so frustrating for us, like an old car that doesn't run anymore. It's been run into the ground, coughing and sputtering its way along. But the soul will be the same. The soul is the same. The foolish theory of modern chemists that life can be produced by chemical interactions cannot be accepted as truth. The birth of a human being's material body takes place due to a mixture of the ovum and semen. But the history of birth is that although the ovum and semen mix together after sex, there is not always pregnancy. Unless the soul enters the mixture, there is no possibility of pregnancy. But when the soul takes shelter of the mixture, the body takes birth, exists, grows, transforms, and dwindles, and ultimately it is vanquished. The fruits and flowers of a tree seasonally come and go, but the tree continues to stand. Similarly, the transmigrating soul accepts various bodies, which undergo six transformations, but the soul remains permanently the same. Ajo nitya shashvatoyam prano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul is eternal and ever existing, but the bodies accepted by the soul are changing. So within every body, there is the life of the body, and that is the soul. And within every body, sarvasya chamrde sanavisto, matta smittam gyanam aponam cha. There is also the life of the soul, the life of the life, the super soul. Texts 19 and 20. So both the soul, and part of the soul is Atma, and the super soul is Paramatma. Both exist within the body. 19:20. Atma. Atma nityo avyaya shuddha eka chatragya ashaya. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They're individual. They're the knowers of the external body. And they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. He said the souls, both the soul and the super soul. They are self-illuminated. They're the cause of all causes. They're all pervading. So the super soul is all pervading throughout everywhere, everything. And the individual soul is all pervading by consciousness throughout the body. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body and everything in relationship with this body is mine. So this is the essential, the essence of illusion. The identification with the body. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport from the beginning, the first paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Lord Krishna clearly says, Mamayevangso jivaloke jivabhuta. All the living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme, among all the living entities. In the Vedas, it is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. He is big Satchitananda, and we are little Satchitananda. And because He is big, He is powerful, He never falls in illusion. And because we are tiny and infinitesimal, we can fall in illusion. We can take shelter of the illusory Maya Shakti of the Lord. But yet, qualitatively we are the same, none different. So we also have great bliss within us. And that's the frustration of being in the material world and having taken shelter of illusion. The bliss is within us, and we want that, but we cannot access it due to Maya, the material energy. So very frustrating for the living entity, looking in the wrong place. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding this sample, the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entity. So we are godly, but not God. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan, Katupanishad. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big, but God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. And yet the quality of being, the supreme cause of all causes, exists in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. So we are the cause of the material body, but not the ultimate cause of the body. But without the soul being within the body turns into matter, practically speaking. Now it has life, it is alive. But soon as the soul is absent, the cause of the life, the cause of the body being anything other than dead matter, has gone, and it again turns to dust, to water. It immediately starts breaking down. So in that sense, the living entity is the cause of all causes of the in his limited sphere of the material body. Soon as that soul leaves, tiny as it is, the eyes don't see, they don't blink, the hair stops its growing. Well, it actually winds down like a fan. The heart stops beating. The breath stops coming. The typical way when you find out if is he still alive? Is he still alive? Check his pulse. If the heart is beating, if you can perceive that, yes, he's alive. If yes, he's still breathing, then there's a hope we can save him. As soon as the soul leaves, no more breath, no more heartbeat. So it's all dependent upon the actual life force, the soul. But that doesn't mean that he's God, but it means he has the quality of being able to cause life within that limited sphere, while Krishna is so great, he is the cause of all the lives. Knowledge, he's knowing everything and everybody. We know what's going on with our body. We don't know what's going on in the body of others, but Krishna is the super soul. He knows everyone's body. It is because the Supreme Lord was in the universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. It is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because the Supreme Lord is within this universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. So he is the Paramatma. He is the super soul of the body. He gives life to the life of the body. He is the super soul. He is the soul of the universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And as Karnadakshaya Vishnu, he is the soul giving life to the entirety of the material existence. So there are three super souls: the soul, the super soul of the body, the super soul of the universe, and the super soul of material existence. So therefore, because he is great and we are tiny, even though we are qualitatively the same, we should surrender to him. But can we perceive this very easily, the existence of the soul or the existence of the super soul? No. Here's what Prahlad says next. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Starting in the second paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. As an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system or, finally, in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam avijananti. Unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, Dehenosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantira praptir diras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. And as Kapila Muni describes in the third canto, leaving the identification of one body, of being one body, and accepting the identification of another body is called death and then birth. That is what death is. We leave the identification with a particular body. Birth, identify with a new body. One should not, on the other hand, be bewildered by this change of body and think that I have been born or I have died. That's called one who has knowledge. And this is the first instruction, the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily conception of life or the animalistic conception of life, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhya kunapalti datuke sa eva gokara. One is no better than a cow or a donkey, an ass, if one identifies with the body. Such strong words. And we all move under the bodily conception of life, which means we are donkeys and monkeys. Foolish. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. For only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. Aham ameti. So there's the illusion, and then the illusion expands to that which we identify as the bodies. That which belongs to my body is mine. Anything connected to my body, from the country to my family to my favorite pair of jeans or something, this is mine, and therefore I'm attached to it. But actually, this is illusion. This dogish conception should be rejected immediately. Prabhupada's preaching is so direct, strong, pointed. Rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit, God, who are eternally related. Thus, one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. The Lord's eight. So now describing the entrapment of the soul covered by matter, conditioned, covered The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations. Within all these, the one spirit soul exists as the observer. So these are the coverings around the soul. The coverings around the spirit soul, which is eternal. These are this is the bodies being described as koshas or sheaths, sometimes described in the Upanishads. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. Conditioned, controlled. We'll read from the second half of Prabhupada's purport. The material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, is a 25th subject, and above everything is Lord Vishnu as Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, who is the 26th subject. So what are these 24 elements? There's the eight material elements, Bhumi, Rupa, Nalo, Vayu, Kamano, the earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and ego. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. Then there's the 10 senses, working senses, the 10 knowledge acquiring senses. This is all described in the third and second canto, describing, especially in the third canto, the creation, how these things are created. These are the elements that are wrapped around the soul. So that's this 10 working senses, 10 knowledge acquiring senses, and the 8, that's 18. And there's 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Five more, the five sense objects. These are all created. There's the senses and then the objects of the senses. And the elements, these are created one by one, coming from one from the other. The sense object, which the sense is attracted to, form is the sense object for the eyes. Fragrance is the sense object for the nose. Form is, what's for the touch? Huh? The object of touch is called touch, or things that you can touch, anything that is the feeling sense. When someone says, "How are you feeling?" you have to check your skin to see if it's feeling properly. How is your feeling going on? So these are the 24 material elements, and within this is the soul and also the super soul. The material. So when one understands all these 26 subjects, he becomes adhyatmavit, an expert in understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chetra Chetra Gyayo Gyanam, understanding of the Chetra, the soul understanding the body, the constitution of the body, and the individual soul, and the super soul constitutes real Gyan or knowledge, knowing the difference between the soul, the body, and the super soul. This is real Gyan or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. So if one only understands that the soul is different from the body and doesn't understand the relationship between the super soul and the soul, between ourselves and Krishna, this jnana is incomplete. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janamanante jnanamam prapadyante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadolabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, Krishna says, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul, it's very rare. So the completion of the knowledge is the surrender of the individual soul to the Supreme Soul. Everything material and spiritual consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadolava. Okay, we'll stop here. So Prahlad is going to continue explaining this knowledge he learned from Narada to the end of this chapter. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? What is the
reason for tremendous anxiety?
If you knew that you were an eternal soul and had nothing to do with your body and your circumstances, and that you belong to the spiritual world, what would you be in anxiety about? Only getting there. Just like if you're watching a movie and something's happening to the hero, he's surrounded by 15 people, each with a different weapon pointed at him. And if you're thinking, oh no, if you have an identification built up with the hero, are you going to be in anxiety? You will be. That's why people like to go to the movies. Did you ever have a favorite cricket team? Like that, yes. Okay. So when India is playing England or Australia, get into something really personal. And if you're really rooting for India and the game is really close, you're in anxiety, yes? But if you don't care about cricket, and if you're from a different country and India is playing Australia, you don't care at all. You're not in anxiety. So it's this identification that causes the anxiety. So if there is no identification with the body and all the byproducts of the body, there's no anxiety. Byproducts of the body and mind. So that's the cause. So if we identify with being Krishna's servant, and understand that he's the supreme controller, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, and that he is our best friend, and he's the all-powerful one, and we surrender ourselves to him, working for him, serving him, then we won't have anxiety. There's such a gulf of difference, vast difference between the two. But it's not easy to cross that gulf. But Prahlad is telling us how. First is to hear. What is the knowledge? What is the problem? What is the illusion? And practice, Prabhupada explained. Bhakti-yogena. Bhakti-yogena sevate sagunan samatityayita. And if one practices bhakti continuously, then one doesn't touch the modes of material nature. Brahma-bhuyaya kalpate is above them. That's the main reason. Bodily conception of life. That's the great intoxication and everything that comes from that. So we should help each other overcome that by developing our devotion for Krishna. Have you chanted your rounds today? 16 rounds? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj Narada Muni ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.